हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्तिश्शान्तिश्शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्णचैतन्यप्रभुनित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैतगदाधर शिवसरिगौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे जय। ओके सो भक्ति संदर्भ ऑन अध्याय 1 अधिकरण 4 भक्ति इज सुपीरियर टू ऑल अदर साधनास। सो देन in the next two anuchetas, the author asserts that the results attained from the process of karma are meager and transient, failing to garner the favor of the Lord, even if the practitioner achieves elevated material status, right? So it's not the quality of what you're offering, it's the quality of the devotion, right? So by continually doing something, one, you see that the work that you do always increases and gets better, but because of its being done in devotion, the heart gets purified and you develop that faith by, association and practice. And then that increases. So the only thing that actually makes anything increase is bhakti. Because karma itself, as we saw in the last anucheta, then it may or may not work. Any flaw, it's done. But in bhakti, even if the flaws are there in the mechanical performance, if the devotion is there, the intent is there, then it's going to work very nicely. It's just the better the focus and intent, the more quickly it moves forward. And the less, then it moves slowly, but it moves, it works. But for the karma, it's all or nothing. It's either complete or nothing. You don't get the credit for only having done it halfway, like that. So that's the difference here, is that it's seen as that if you're looking for material benefit, it already comes with bhakti. And if you perform an activity only for material benefit, that's foolish, because then you're only getting a temporary result, right? And it's not very great. Well, bhakti gives an unlimited result, because it's in line with the soul and Krishna. So it's on the transcendental platform. It's eternal. While anything else, no matter how great we think it is, it's not that much. I mean, Uparichara Vasu, his vehicle was crystal, solid crystal. So he has a swan airplane that's solid crystal, that just by mantra he can fly around in the sky, right? Solves all the, economic problems, solves all the, problems of the environment. It's the coolest thing around. It's just that, whatever it is, no one has anything like that. Even they have their own private plane. It's not as good as this one, and the other one has a height limit. This one, he can fly to other planets if he wants, it's no question that this is, coming because of devotion, because he was considered one of the three most merciful personalities, in the universe. So the demigods, out of, appreciation, gave him that airplane. So the point is, this bhakti gives, the kingdom of Dhruva Maharaj. There's no kingdom bigger than that in the universe. Brahma's isn't as good. He's the boss of the universe, and his kingdom is not as good as Dhruva Maharaj. Right? His grandson, right? So it just doesn't compare. Yeah. Okay. In contrast, performance of sincere devotional service, even from an individual socially deemed inferior, such as a dog eater, is capable of pleasing the Lord. Anucheta 100. One should examine the verse Chaktva Swadharmam, Srimad Bhagavatam 1.5.17. One attains useless results, like swarga, by actions of karma performed with great difficulty and expense. But one attains the highest result by a shadow of bhakti performed with very little difficulty and expense. Thus one should conclude that the purport of scriptures is bhakti alone, right? So having written all the scriptures, right, so no one's going to know them better than Vyasadeva, right? And so he has compiled them all with great contemplation and focus. He's written them. Then, when he's not satisfied, Narad Muni points out, because your understanding, your interpretation of scripture isn't actually on the topmost platform, right? He's not seeing the simultaneous, the one and difference of the Lord, and he's not seeing how, you know, Krishna's, how these three features of Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan, how that affects, you know, I mean, in Bhagavan, how he's simultaneously seeing everything, but at the same time, he's on his own, you know, doing his own activities. Even though he's, you know, so that becomes then the point. Then having that realization, how Krishna is independent, at the same time, he controls all his energies, then he's writing Srimad Bhagavatam, right? So that's the point, is that he's understood that this is what it means. Right? So when he says this, thus, you know, that promote bhakti alone, that's all. That's what it is. It's not that, okay, well, that's one way of looking. No, that is the way of looking at it. And that's how everyone in the spiritual world, every last living entity, looks at it. And there's 10 times more there than here. You know, and here we mean all the universes, the unlimited universes. We're not talking our universe. Like, we're just a, you know, we're just like one mustard seed in one of those, you know, monster sacks of mustard seeds. And so it doesn't compare at all. So bhakti is the only thing. And by performance of bhakti, what, since you're using the mediums, you know, the religious mediums of karma and jnana in serving the Lord, that's, you know, karma yoga, jnana yoga, then the point is you get the results of those anyway, right? I cook for Krishna lunch, and then having offered to Krishna, I have also lunch. I didn't have the, so that's the point. If I cook separately lunch just for myself, I get a temporary result that I have something that I can eat now, and then tomorrow I'll be hungry. I got no benefit other than it filled my stomach and nourished me for the next, till the next day. And then it's over. That's it. It will never give me any more benefit again. But if I cook for Krishna, not for myself, right, then I get the eternal benefit. One, I've served Krishna in that devotion that's there, and then honoring that remnants, then, you know, the devotional activity. And I also maintain my body till tomorrow. But the eternal benefit of having cooked to Krishna, offered it to Krishna, and honored Krishna's remnants, that's eternal. So that's the whole point, is that the two go together. Simultaneously, one and different. They say, no, we have to be practical. That means you don't understand the philosophy, not at least in this point. Right? Philosophically, generally we see devotees are good with the philosophy. But when it comes to the religious understanding of its connection, not necessarily as strong. You know, because that's the whole point, is that it's not a separate endeavor. Just as cooking for Krishna includes that you have something to eat afterwards, doing all your activities simply to please Krishna means you still have the results of those activities. That's how it works. It's Krishna's arrangement. He's the Lord of Icha, Kriya, and Jnana. So it's by performance of action, Kriya, you get results. Balaram then, through the Kriya Shakti, then, you know, expands the universe. You know, so it gets things done. That's the whole point. Abhideya gets things done. The whole point of Shastra is Abhideya, and that it's done, activity done to please Krishna. So Baladeva expands the universe to please Krishna. Right? He maintains it to please Krishna. He makes all the arrangements and that, you know, in the spiritual planets to please Krishna. You know, in the forest of Vrindavan, all the arrangements, that's to please Krishna. So that's the point. There's always going to be that transformation. That's just how energy works. Krishna is always the same, right? But his energies, then they're always having that transformations and everything like that. It's non-different from him because it works on him. So it has that internal existence. It has knowledge and action, and it has results. So that you get that physical result, and you get a, you know, the subtle results and the experience. So the point is they're non-different, right? But at the same time, they're different. So that's just the way it is. So all this, oh, we have to be practical, Prabhu. It's like, well, you're not practical. If we're devotees, how is it you're doing your work separate from Krishna is practical? We have to pay the bills. Why? Because you need it. The soul doesn't need. Right? So you need your identity on the material platform, your conditioned platform. So, okay, you're taking care of that. But why would you take care of that and not take care of the soul? That's the whole point. We're polishing the cage. The bird dies. And then we call that practical. You know, the gold is nice and shiny. Like that. You know, this is just foolishness. It's illusion. And that's why Lord Chaitanya and the sages and the acharyas and Srila Prabhupada came to free us from this illusion. We have to accept this. We can say, oh, this is so, you know, this or that. Why? Anything else is not? I call the person, you know, he, and then they freak out and have a meltdown and it's on the news. And then, you know, the half the world is out after to get you, to cancel you, you know, and that, and somehow or another, that's okay. But saying that we're the soul and not the body, and therefore you have to act like the soul, not the body. You can't say, yeah, we're not the body, we're the soul, but we're Westerners. And so we can't do all these, you know, I say Vedic religious activities. That's just no philosophy. That's just attachment. It's just bogus. It may be maybe coming from a thread of the Vedic in which you're saying is that, you know, it means all souls are equal and we're not the body, and but the soul has to act, so he acts, engages his conditioned nature in the Lord's service, but that doesn't mean he becomes. You can't say we are Westerner, you know. You can't say that. We're still the soul. But the point is you can say, I'm not the body. But that doesn't mean the body changes, right? That makes sense? You have a bird. And you understand the bird is the soul. It's not the body. Can it fly? Yes. You have just a karmi. He doesn't understand that the bird is the soul. In fact, they think they have no soul. Can it fly? Yes. Does anything change? So if I'm saying I'm not the, I, you know, my body has a particular nature, it can't fly. Right. But if, you know, unless I guess you're on the front of the boat of the Titanic and the wind's blowing in your face. Okay. Like that. But other than that, then, yeah, but they're dead anyway, whatever. So the point is, then I think, I'm not this body, I'm the soul. Can I fly now? Nothing changes. The body is the body. It is made out of the material elements, the Mahabhutas and, you know, all these different things, the sense object, the Tan Mantras. It is made out of that. And it can do what it has the capacity to do, and that's it. So to say, I'm not the body, and then say, now I can do whatever I want with the body, that's just cheating or foolishness. Foolishness at best, cheating, you know, in a practical application. Because the point is I want to do that, but you say, I can't do that because of my body. So I'm not the body. Now I can do that. But you're doing it with your body. If you can do it without your body, leave your body there and just the soul go over and do that. You know, but if you're doing it with the body has a nature. That's the whole point. They go to, so if the soul is engaged in devotional service, they're using the body in devotional service. That means one, they're doing devotional service at the same time, the effect of the results. I mean, the results of, or the, yeah, the effect of the action performed by the body still comes. It's still there. That's the point. Bhakti already includes karma and jnana, but we're, you know, we're like, you know, very attached to the point. No, karma and jnana are different. Because if karma and jnana are different, it's the material world, it's different. You know, it's a different thing. You know, you can't put them together. You know, the Prabhupada's from the spiritual world and, you know, and all that. But he doesn't know what's going on here. You know, it's like that. We got to take it. That's deism. That's directly deism. Deism is God created the place and that. But now he's left it to us, the humans, that we have to, you know, come up with the rules and laws that govern mankind and then, you know, enforce them and all that. But, you know, keep faith in God is the ultimate thing. You know, we do our good work. So by our service to God by coming up with modern social, political, economic laws and justice and applying that in our life, then God will be pleased and he'll take us back to the spiritual world. Or, well, actually, they want to go to heavenly planets, but whatever. The point is I'm going to do what I want, how I want, and because I've done that so nicely, God's going to be pleased. That's deism. And we hear people say it all the time, you know? But they don't know that they're saying a bogus philosophy. So, yes, that's the point. So the thing is the living entity, if they just engage in devotional service, it's just changing the consciousness. That's all it is. Because whatever you want to say, that everything here is different, it's Krishna's energy. It works by his laws. It has nothing to do with us and our laws. Nothing. It has no effect. You make laws, birds can't fly anymore, you know, and hit the gavel on the table and all that. And, you know, and then, you know, the pigeons take it to the Supreme Court and all that, and still the gavel falls. No, birds are not flying anymore because they make a mess everywhere. And that, you know, like that, birds are still going to fly. It doesn't matter what we say or what we do. Gravity's there. You breathe air, you know, like that. You eat food, you know, like this. It's still going to be exactly the same. That's the whole point, is we want to say that we are so important, so valuable, that what we do, that's the game-changing thing in the universe. Because you talk about the universe and what is it, law of attraction. What you think, then the whole universe adjusts just for you. Yeah, so that's the whole thing. Yeah, it's like, that's like I went into, what was it, for some reason into one of these a shop that deals with gyms and gym equipment and, you know, other things like that. And I think we were looking for some protein powder, right? Okay. You know, because we wanted some, because you have the grain protein powder. I wanted one that was whey based. And so I'm looking at this, you know, rack of protein powder. It's like, I don't know. It's like there's like 100 different varieties. And one of them I look across, that's just like it right out of, it says right the label, what it's called is I am God. You know, eating this protein, you'll be so powerful. Yeah, I'm God. Yeah, you know, so they should just call it Hiranyakashipu, you know, like that, you know. So that's the crazy. So that's the thing. There's this insane importance being given by the living entities that what I am the doer and what I do is so valuable and everybody needs what I do and everybody should know what I do, and therefore on the media, you know, I have to show them what I ate for lunch. It's like, who cares? You know, everybody eats. You ate something nice. Okay, next time we meet, we can talk about it, you know, like that, you know. But why halfway through the board meeting I have to get a picture of what you're sitting down and eating for lunch, and while you're taking a picture of it, then your partner is picking it up and feeding it to a dog, you know, literally, you know, because you're just going to, I mean, I bought it for you to eat. You're just taking pictures of it. Okay. And this dog wants something to eat. Hey, here, you know? So, you know, that's the media. So the point is it's a futile exercise by the living entity, all of them, that they're in charge, right? You know, it's like, you know, the president of America, he's in charge, he's this, he's that. He can't even walk up a set of stairs without falling over. You know, a three-year-old can do better than him. Or at least if he does fall over, everyone is going, oh, cute. You know, is anyone going to say that about the president of America? Oh, he fell over. Oh, so cute. No. So that's the whole thing, is it just doesn't last. No matter who you are, they get old, they die, they lose their money. Today you're a billionaire. Tomorrow you wake up and you don't have any money. It's like that, literally. You know? So it's just the way it goes. So one has to at some point acknowledge that this is the way it is and just accept. And when one accepts that, then it's so easily performed. That's the whole point. It's so easy to perform, right? Karma is performed with great difficulty and expense, right? But the highest result, by a shadow of bhakti, you're getting the highest result already, let alone if it's with, you know, pure bhakti, with very little difficulty and expense, right? You think about it, our devotion, how much does it cost to do all these devotional, how much does it cost that while you're cooking to add in that you're doing this for Krishna? How much more does it cost? Doesn't. And the endeavor is also very little. It's not that difficult. So just by doing that, the bhakti already includes the karma and the jnana. That's just the way it is, you know. Okay. These scriptures are not useless since they promote bhakti by repeatedly recommending its performance. So therefore, they're real. They're not useless. Everything else is useless unless it can be engaged in bhakti. So without bhakti, it's useless. If I say, oh, it can all be engaged in bhakti, yes, it can. But the point is without bhakti, it's useless. And bhakti, the scriptures that describe it, bhakti itself is useful on its own because it is independent. We have to make that distinction. But out of attachment, we'll go, oh, all this nonsense I'm doing, but you can be engaged in Krishna's service, you know, yukta vairagya, you know, all that kind of jazz. And so, yes, you know, but the point is it's devotional service that makes it useful. It's not useful on its own. Right? It's not useful on its own.
It's not
that it's useful now and I use it in bhakti, it's still useful, so I can still get the benefit, it's not lost, so therefore it's good. No, that's bhakti mr karma. It's that without bhakti it's useless, and when it's engaged in the service of bhakti, then it has a use. Yes, Pandavaji.
Maharaj, thank you. I just wanted to say something, give an example. Previous point that you made that it doesn't matter what we think, there are laws and Krishna's laws, they always work.
Right.
So I was just reading Bharat Maharaj's story yesterday, and it struck me that he also taught that his growing attachment to this deer is okay. Not only it's okay, he taught it is actually spiritual advancement. All the while he was degrading himself. And then at the end, But the universe, Krishna, didn't respond the way he thought. And then in the end, when he accepted the body of a deer, then he understood. He said, oh, okay, I made a blunder. So it applies to the devotees, even on a high level of bhava, let alone if we are below, let alone if you're karmi, 80. So that's what I wanted to say. It is.
And everyone but humans all follow the laws of nature. Means they study science, means studying the laws of nature. It's not something else. They make it out as that it's an independent thing. That's the whole thing, is this need for independence. It means the soul has some independence, but your independence is to whether you want to be engaged in Krishna service or in Maya. You don't have, and it's not, there's not a third choice. Right? And so, how you say, I don't
know. We are free to choose, but then the result of our choices is not for us to determine.
It's still, we don't determine it. That's why it's said that Yudhishthira Maharaj talks about success. It's like focus means you understand the field, you have the knowledge, and you focus on it. Then you endeavor with that knowledge, that focus, now I endeavor. But you depend upon the Supreme for the result. You think you're going to produce it, it's not going to happen, right? So people who are getting results is because they think at the time of performing the action, they're not thinking that they're producing it. They're just focusing on the action that they need to do. And by that, by Krishna's laws, it gets. So the scientists and all that, everyone, they only observe what's going on around them. They can't observe something else. And then they speculate on that. You know, someone is, you know, studying the clouds and the wind and the sky and the effects of, you know, all the different geographical things on the weather. And then they come up, but that's the laws of that. That's the way the laws are. Biologist studies how life works. It always works in the same way. You know, and then the animals, and what do? They're studying how they eat, sleep, mate, and defend. And that's what they do. You know, they sleep in the tree. They sleep on the ground. They sleep in a hole in the ground. You know, like that, you know, they don't know about the Cheyenne eagles that can sleep while they're flying between planets, but you know, whatever, they try their best. And so they do all these different things. And it's all about Krishna's creation and Krishna's laws. And then they say, this is Shrayas, and this is, and then they say, because it's, they observed it. Now it's, they're the ones who have made the laws. Now you have to follow and think of the way they do it. No, didn't you notice you got that from nature? You didn't get that anywhere else. You didn't come up with this. Right? And so the whole thing is it all works like that. Human beings, we see the animals follow their things and it works nicely. But the humans don't follow, it doesn't work. And if they're going to act like an animal, are they acting consistently? No, they're picking what they want from which animal. You know, and it just means more births between, you know, how you say, hell and coming back to human life when you have to take all those births of all those animals that you imitated. You know, that's all. You know, you like the dogs, okay. You like the birds, okay. You like the this, right, that, but then you have to take X amount of births in each one until, you know. Yeah, just a waste of time. Yes. So, yes, that they're, the laws remain despite them. And, you know, they'll say is this and that, and, oh, it's contextual and that. That's how you see it. But the reality is you say it's contextual, but you can say whatever you want. But then the big donors stop giving you hundreds of millions of dollars because they don't like your context. You know, it doesn't matter what you say. It's just, this is the way it is. Okay. Then a quote from Srimad Bhagavatam. I consider a dog eater who has dedicated everything, mind, words, activities, wealth, and life to the Supreme Lord, superior to a Brahmana who has all 12 items of the previous verse, but who is averse to the lotus feet of the Lord. He purifies his whole family, whereas the so-called respectable person does not. Srimad Bhagavatam 7, 9, 10. So-called respectable. In other words, they're doing the activities of a person who would be respectable. But who's respectable? The devotee of the Lord. And if you're not a devotee of the Lord, technically that is not a respectable position for the soul. Now you can say, "Is no, but he's got power and all that. You have to respect." But where does the power come from? It's Krishna's power. So that's the point. It's Krishna's power, Krishna's wealth, Krishna's beauty, Krishna's fame, Krishna's knowledge, Krishna's detachment. It's not theirs. They can say, oh, it's all mine. Can you take it with you? Right? That's the famous saying. You can't take it with you. You know? It's like that. You're a billionaire. Everything stays right where it was. It's not when you disappear, all the money's gone, the whole house, you know, the people are on the second floor, you know, standing around his bed. And then when he leaves, you know, when he dies, everything disappears and they're floating in the air for a moment and then bang, hit the bare dirt because the house is gone, you know, like that. And now if he takes it with him, does the stuff in the septic tank go with him or that amazingly stays? Yes, Pandaji.
They were taking some golden coins with them to pay in ancient Egypt.
Okay.
To pay
the tax, yeah. What, but someone else puts them there on their eye. But it's still here. The soul's gone. But yeah, that's all they can take. And then the boatman takes it from them. Yeah. So, yeah, it's amazing how you had all that. And then that's what it mentions in the Vedas. You know, they put gold coins on the eyes. That's for the boat ride. Otherwise, if you don't have it, you have to swim. Yeah, not necessarily good. Huh? Yeah, yeah. That's what Indians are totally into it. They can't swim, so you got to put the coins. Okay. So-called respectable person is so-called because he's performing the actions and forms, you know, and maybe etiquettes of a respectable person, but he's not. It's like what you would call, like for the established wealthy families, for them, nouveau riche aren't actually rich, right? They may have the money, but that doesn't make them, you know, in the social status that they are. They're thinking, no, if I have the money, then I have the status. So the guy goes to the, you know, formal party in his tracksuit with his, you know, the neck, the gold big pennant with a big dollar sign on it, you know, studded in diamonds, and his baseball hat, and everybody else, and his tennis shoes, right? like that. You know, I mean, of course, you know, they're Louis Vuitton, I say tennis shoes, but whatever it is, they cost a lot. What he's wearing costs a lot. But the point is there's no culture. There's no class. There's no, so he's only a so-called rich person. So that's point. The actual class is being a devotee. The devotee is the class act. So even if he's coming from a background of a chandala, because he's a devotee, he's respectable. And even though he's from that Brahmin background, he has all the 12 qualities of the Brahmin. He's respected for that, but he as the soul is very meager. There's nothing there. It's wasting his time. He works so hard to come to that pinnacle of the whole cycle of samsara, and he doesn't know what he's supposed to do. He's supposed to keep going. It's the trajectory to go up. But instead, he just comes back down like that, you know. The commentary says, it was stated that the Lord is satisfied by pure bhakti. Now it is stated that without bhakti, other methods do not please the Lord, right? So that's the point. The Lord is satisfied by bhakti, and without bhakti, no other method will please him. No other sadhana, no other activity, no other understanding, no other endeavor, nothing. It doesn't matter. It won't please the Lord because it's already his anyway. He's already making it happen. Why does the animal end up going to swarga? Right? Because of pleasing the Lord. The animal is performing his animal duties just as Krishna says that he should do it. And because of that, he elevates himself to human life. And then because he's elevating himself up, then, you know, he, you know, then continues and goes to heaven. Or he is the animal, then is offered in the sacrifice. He goes to the heavenly planet because he's doing his animal stuff. So that's the point, is that everything goes on and elevates because of that. The weather's nice and everything. You go around the world, you know, you go to places where, you know, either no modern people are, and, you know, the locals, the animals, and then even the humans there who basically are kind of like animals, but they just do their tribal stuff. They don't do anything outside of their tribal stuff. And it works. Or even if you have situations where, you know, people are just following their modern religious thing, but they do it nicely and they stick to that. You know, like that. And so because of that, then they elevate themselves. Right? You know, as far as what they can do, because they're steady, they're stable, they're regulated, they have faith in whatever they're doing, they follow the rules, that part will elevate them. What the other nonsense that they're doing, you know, and all that, that's going to have a problem for them. You know, all that crazy stuff. You know, it's like you see, you have all these tough bikers and all that, and they're famous for being a little bit on the criminal side. But, you know, you see pictures of them riding along in the bike, and there's some old lady trying to get across the crosswalk, and they get off the bike and stop the traffic and get her across. You know, they do that kind of stuff. Or, you know, they're loyal to their other members of their group and all that. And, you know, when there's stuff that they consider wrong, they'll go out of their way to say that it's taken care of. You know, so they have their code, and as long as they stick to it, then that's regulated and it's beneficial. That's why they get the taste. That's why they want to do it. But the problem is then all the other nonsense that they're doing, now that's going to be a problem. You know, the amount of beer they drink and, you know, all the fighting they do and this and that. So that's going to be a problem for them. But at least they're consistent with what they do. So because they're doing that, the weather won't be quite as bad. But when they throw out everything and nothing is there and all, then you just see the weather getting worse and worse and worse. There's the courts instead of, you know, okay, this is the law and that. Now it's the guys that are criminals and, oh, that's just a misdemeanor. And somebody, you know, how you say, said sir when he should have said, you know, whatever it is, you know, your unicornness or whatever it is like that. And then they get put in jail. And so, therefore, Prabhupada said, when the court is corrupt, then that creates, you know, all these and these pandemics. Disease comes out of the courts when they pollute the ether, because the ether is impure. Therefore, disease can move in it. So the last pandemic, you know, I mean, we had for 3 years. That's because the court systems around the world are corrupt. It's that simple, you know. So that's the way it works, you know. So you can say whatever one likes, But the point is that when it's engaged in Krishna's service, then it works. But if it's not, it's under Krishna's control. So you can do what you like. But if you don't follow Krishna's laws, you will not get a good result. So since you're following God's laws anyway, why not follow it to please God? Right? Like the animals are doing everything to follow God's laws, but they're not doing it to please God. So all the benefit they do is just move through the species and elevate themselves back up to human life. That's it. They can't go back to Godhead. Right? Only if they're animals living their animal life and in context of God, like we see in the fifth canto, the Vanaras. Right? They're saying we're forest people, unsophisticated, but we do everything connected with God. They can go back to Godhead. Or if they're just doing it, you know, because they want to do it and follow the laws because they want good material, then, you know, they'll elevate themselves. Then another quote from Srimad Bhagavatam. Then, I think that wealth, family, beauty, austerity, learning, power of the senses, splendor, power, sense of strength of the body, effort, intelligence, karma, jnana, or astanga yoga cannot satisfy the Lord. The Lord was satisfied with the king of the element, elephants, by his devotion of the Lord. That's funny. When it says elephants, I say elements. And when it says elements, I'll say elephants. That's just weird. By his devotion to the Lord, right? So the king of the elephants. Srimad Bhagavatam 799. So that's the thing. Then he said in the previous verse, right? So these are the 12 items, right? We'll think, you know, okay, 12 items, okay. He, you know, he does his achman and he sits on his kusa grass asan and, you know, he, you know, doesn't wear sewn cloth and, you know, all these things that Brahmins do that aren't so important today. Yes, okay, if those items are not done. Okay, yeah, they're the so-called respectable person, you know, like that. But we're in practice. But no, here, this is the verse now, right? Wealth. Oh, no, that's good. Family, of course, family, you know, like that. Beauty, yeah, come on. You know, it's like that. Austerity, yeah, you know, I mean, it's... depends how you define it, but, you know, if we take austerity, wearing a mini skirt in the middle of winter, yeah, okay. Learning, yeah, of course, I went to Harvard, you know, power of the senses, right on, right on. Splendor, of course, I'm fabulous. Power, yeah, you know, I hear my roar, right? Strength of the body, you know, that's what God made gyms for, right? Effort, yeah, I make my effort when I feel like it. Intelligence, I'm fabulous, most intelligent. Karma, I should get what I want, not what I deserve. You know, jnana or astanga yoga can't say, you know, that they can't satisfy the Lord. It's kind of like, what? But they satisfy me. And if I'm satisfied, then the universe is satisfied, right? Because I'm the universe. No, that's the point. He was satisfied, the king of elephants, like elephants, by his devotion. So he was there trying for 1,000 years because he's an elephant. An elephant is way stronger than a crocodile, but he's in the water. So the crocodile is stronger in the water. So the crocodile can't bring him down, but he can't get away. So he's tried for 1,000 years. Then only he thinks, okay, this is not working. We need a different approach. So then he thinks, then he remembers, because he's, you know, purifying from all this difficulty. He, as, you know, was in his previous life, Indradyumna, was a great devotee. And so therefore, then he plucks a lotus flower and offers it to the Lord. Right? So then the Lord simultaneously just arrived. Yeah. Yeah, I could have done it all along, but whatever, you know, it takes a while for the living entity to figure it out. This is not working, right? And so then I'm not in control. And so Krishna came, and he came so quickly. I can't remember what it is, but there's something missing or something. It's like his chudder or something is missing. He came so quickly to save Gajendra. Yes.
He jumped off Garuda because he thought Garuda is moving too slow.
Oh, okay. He jumped off Garuda. Okay. Yeah, so he sees the mood is so important. So because of the mood of devotion, then the Lord has that mood of reciprocation with that. Yeah. So that's Srimad Bhagavatam 7.9.9. So that was the previous one, as I consider a dog ear, that was 7.9.10. So many times you see the acharyas when they're making a point, because you have the thing you're going through and you're building up the point, you know, just in a logical way. But when they're pointing it out as, no, this is the essence, then all the other ones have their meaning. So many times you'll see as the acharyas in quoting a line that they may reverse it like that, because they want to make the whole point, you know. Because it's just like sarva dharmam paritya jamam ekam sharanam vraja. But what does that look like? Man manabhava mad bhakto mad yaji mam. That's the verse before. But that we've made the point, so because of this, now surrender. But the point is what is the surrender? That. Because we may just keep going like that. No, it comes back to here. Right? Yeah. Then the acharya continues, the dog eater who has dedicated everything to the Lord is superior to persons endowed with the above mentioned 12 items. Or the 12 items are the qualities mentioned by Sanata Sujata in the following, right? So he's mentioned here, and he said in the previous verse, so you have those 12 qualities or items, or whatever it is, those items. But he also mentions Sanata Sujata, because someone is saying, oh yes, but the Brahman has, you know, these qualities, you know, specifically Brahman, you know, things, because those are kind of more general, everybody's going for those. But the point is, that's the thing, everybody's going for those, including the Brahmins. But they may want to, you know, by their pride and prestige, no, but we just were talking about the Brahminical ones that the other ones cannot do and can't, you know, can never do and can't conceive of because we're so fabulous, right? Like that. The 12 vows of the Brahman are dharma, truth, sense control, austerity, lack of selfishness, shyness, tolerance, lack of envy, sacrifice, charity, determination, and knowledge of scripture. Mahabharata 5:43-12. Right? So then you can say, okay, now these are really good. How can you say is the dog eater is better than this? Because the dog eater is a devotee. So even if you have all these, so that's why he's showing the two points, is that you take those, though they're general like this, but we're talking about, you know, higher, you know, like this. Great. But these higher things still, if they're not connected to bhakti, because we'll say, generally when we think, yes, all these things have to be given up and just do devotional service. Yeah, it means all these sinful, nonsense, disgusting, despicable, you know, terrible things, those are all giving up. And then, you know, I do nice things and that's bhakti. Because you look at it, what was our life before coming to Krishna consciousness? Nothing was auspicious. Right? So coming to Krishna consciousness, a complete change of lifestyle. Right? Because it's just so terrible, the lifestyle, that you have to make some adjustments. But we're looking at it in the Vedic system. They're human. They have all these good qualities. But still, it's not enough. Devotion is beyond that. So we make the mistake is, okay, I come in and I take up devotional service. So I'm doing dharma, truth, sense control, austerity, lack of selfishness, shyness, tolerance, lack of envy, sacrifice, charity, determination, and knowledge of scriptures. So they don't understand, no, those are the Brahminical qualities. I'm engaging those as religious processes in bhakti. I take it, no, directly they're bhakti. Now, if you're just using for bhakti, yes, they are. Therefore, the devotees in the 60s and 70s who don't understand this point of the philosophy, it's still non-different. So they can say it's devotional service because the only reason they're doing it is because of devotional service. Now you try to do those things separately from devotional service. You know, dharma, no, you know, dharma, the righteous thing is, you know, being, you know, progressive and modern moralist and being an upstanding citizen of the state. You're talking about just straight up, you know, upfront mundanity. You're not talking about devotion at all. Truth is, you know, what's in line with the socio-political, you know, positions. Sense control, just engaging my senses in things that are politically correct. Austerity, doing my duties of political correctness. Lack of selfishness, it's for the state, it's for the institution, it's not for me. Of course, I happen to be the head of the institution and, you know, all that, and I get the benefits, but that's a side thing. It's, you know, selflessness, you know, like that. Shyness, yeah, I have, you know, I'm shy to, you know, how you say, Yeah, yeah. You know, it's like I'm shy, you know, when I'm walking in and the rose petals are going and the seats and the garlands and the kirtans, you know, I just, you know, it's all just, I would just, yeah. Tolerance, you know, we're tolerating these people that follow all this Vedic nonsense, you know. Lack of envy is like anybody who's following the progressive things, I don't envy them. You know, a sacrifice. Yes, everybody's got a sacrifice for the state. You know, like that. Charity, give all your money to Krishna consciousness. You know, you're doing your congregation, you're just doing Maya. We're the institution, give it all to us, you know, because they can't distinguish what's bhakti and what's not. Determination, be focused on what I say. And knowledge of the scriptures, yeah, in as much as it, you know, relatively applies to our principle of our modern, you know, political views. Yeah, shastras are there, and they're a bit of a disturbance at times, right? You know, because people, you know, use them for all this foolish, archaic, you know, ancient, you know, Vedic, you know, archaic stuff, you know, so it's a problem, yeah. So, like that, so it's Prabhupada engaged us in devotional, gave us our religion of Daiva Varnashram, gave us our practices, you know, the Bhagavat and Pancharatric methods, the transcendental thing, aspects. And because we're doing it all for Krishna, it's one thing. You don't have to distinguish. Like in the spiritual world, Mother Yashoda does woman stuff, mother stuff, wife stuff, you know, daughter stuff, but it's only just to please Krishna. So you don't have to make a distinction. You know, like that. But here, if it's all being done in pure devotion, it's there. Like Prabhupada said, my disciples are all pure devotees because they were acting in that way. But then when they see is, okay, there's discrepancies in our, how we behave in that, and it's maybe disturbing to the public, that's just due to unrefinement or, you know, other, you know, considerations. But then what do? You just, what is the Vedic standard? How you deal with people? It's all that. You don't take the modern standard. You don't go, oh, we're all doing that and we're devotees and it's wrong. So therefore we have to do what they do, and what we're doing as devotees isn't the religious system to follow. This is like such a major mistake. It's not even funny. Right? It's a disaster. So they can't distinguish between all these things that are being done under Prabhupada's direction, and it's already been purified of everything and how to engage. They just need some refinement. That's all. And that will come with time and Krishna consciousness anyway. All the good qualities come. But instead, we take it that all these problems are coming because we're doing this. Therefore, yes, I'll keep the, you know, affection for Prabhupada and Krishna and chant my rounds and Mangalarti, but everything else has got to go. And so then you're not talking about people who understand what's going on. So what they're saying and what the smartness are saying is not, the principle is no different. They're just, you know, politically correct smartness. That's all. Without the piety, without the, you know, regulation, without, you know, any motive goodness. It's just, you know, what comes up in their mind today. It's ignorance with enough passion to, you know, make people do something. So we're not talking about anything glorious at all. You know, and then if you can engage this in Krishna service, yes, it's glorious, but why at the expense of the others? So this point we'll say is, okay, yeah, that's about the Brahmins and we don't like the Brahmins anyway. No, this is about anybody who thinks their list and set of ideals and values is important if it's not connected to Krishna. It's the second verse of the Chatur Shloki. Anything of value that you have that's not connected to Krishna is illusion. It's the second verse. So that's what he's pointing out here. It's that, and it's about Krishna, about him as the person. That's the third verse. And then what's the Abhideya? At all times, all places, all circumstances, make it connected to Krishna. Not, okay, I mean, the temple program is connected to Krishna the rest of the day. You know, we have to be practical, and the material world is, you know, the material world, and you know, we have to deal with it. You know, the reflection is important. We have to sit there and deal with the reflection in the water. You know, it's like we go into the water and go like this, and the tree leaves move, and, you know, like this, and all the things are like that. And we go over and pick a fruit from the tree in the water. And, you know, and it has nothing to do with the tree on the land, because this is different. It's so far away. It doesn't connect. It does. we're talking about serious, serious illusion here. You know, and technically, you know, if you want to get into it, a little bit of, you know, impersonalism and voidism, you know, that it's all you know. But the thing is they think this is real. You know, the Vedic religious things, that's the illusion. You know, yeah. Okay. The dog eater is described, all right? So we describe the you know, the Brahman and the qualities that was there. And if you're not, okay, Sanata Sujata, these are the 12 qualities mentioned, you know, in the Mahabharata, like that. The dog eater is described, you know, not getting closer to home here. He is often, well, maybe not, right? Just as I start to see here. The dog eater means the dog eater that he was talking about in the verse, the previous, you know, explanation of the devotee. Yeah, I thought it was the dog eater. You know, yes. No, he has offered his mind, words, actions, ihita, wealth, and life to the lotus navel Lord. The cause of his superiority is that he purifies the whole dynasty, right? Because the devotional service, it says 20 generations are purified, right? The proud Brahmin does not even purify himself, what to speak of his dynasty. Right here, the proud Brahmin, because they think they're superior. We're Westerners. We can't do all that Indian stuff like that. That's for, you know, rickshaw wallahs and taxi drivers, you know, the maid that comes clean your house when you're staying there in Mayapur. All these low-class riff-raff that we can't, and now this is a direct quote, we can't, there's nothing to be gained or learned from the Indians today. End quote. That is a direct quote from the Acharya himself. And I can't remember who he was saying it to, but I was sitting next to him when he said it. Right? You know, yeah. Because he doesn't even know what Indians are. He hasn't met them. He doesn't like that. He didn't like it. So he doesn't know. He never met an Indian gentleman, you know, and all these things like that. He met Prabhupada and he does fine like this and that, but you know, okay, we can't be. Whatever. So that's the point. The proud Brahmin, that's the problem. Because of his pride, his intelligence gets warped. So we have to see it's about Krishna and the Acharyas and what they say, and that's there. And so this dog eater is following it. Therefore, his body, mind, words, wealth, life, everything is offered to the Lord. And therefore, he's perfect. He's the pure devotee. While the Brahmin has all these fabulous, the best qualities you can have in the universe. And still, you know, it's all ruined because of this pride. It's ahankar, false ego. So since when is false ego good? Right? Ego. I am the servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord. Gopi Bartuf Padakamalayor Dasa Dasanu Dasa. That's what he says, Lord Chaitanya. And he said, Naham Vipro Nacha Narapatir Napi Vaishana Shudur Naham Varni Nachabari Grihapatirno Vanashto Yatir Va. You know, up to the Brahman. Not any of the Brahman, not the not a Brahman, I'm not a sannyasi, I'm not any of these things. I'm just the servant of the servant of the servant. Right? So even when he was performing his pastime, then Antya Leela is describing how, you know, generally he's taking the mood of Radharani and then doing that. But then there's one pastime where he's taking the mood of the maidservants of Radharani and serving, seeing Radha Krishna going in the cave and they're making arrangements for, you know, all their pastimes. So he even tasted that. So that's the dasanu dasanu das. It means, you know, so it's not that he's just saying it and not doing it. He's practically doing it. But yeah. Thus, such a person is inferior. Okay. All these qualities without bhakti lead only to pride, not purification, right? Like that. So the pride, then it's, you know, that's the standard thing, the pride before the fall. Purification is not uplifting. So that's the whole point, is all these things have to be uplifting. So if you're going to use religion, then it has to be connected to Krishna. That's what the dog eater is doing. And that's what the Brahmin's not doing. So even though he's using a superior quality of religion, but he's not using it for Krishna, it's a waste of time, let alone using something that's not even, is subhuman, subpar. and then not using it in Krishna service. You know? And claiming that, you know, we're going to use this and not that, but, you know, nothing gets engaged, properly engaged. You know, but, you know, the life of it still, individuals still advance because they're still chanting Hare Krishna and still, you know, attending the program and all that. And so, you know, they make advancement. But how much more you could make if you included the rest of your life? And body, mind, and words means the whole life. Okay. Then Muktafala commentary says, quote, the 12 qualities are wealth, family, etc., or the following. Control of mind, control of senses, austerity, cleanliness, tolerance, honesty, detachment, knowledge, vijnana, satisfaction, truth, and belief in scriptures are the 12 qualities. Right? So Muktafala commentary. So it's mentioning that. It means that they are those things, or you could look at it here, because the one is general, what everybody wants, and then this is specific to the Brahman, because otherwise you might say, oh, those are general qualities. That's not the... So yes, the general qualities are more materialistic, but we are Brahminical qualities. You know, that's the pinnacle. So it doesn't mean that. No, but he's pointing, no, it does mean that. And he says here, belief in scripture. It doesn't mean knowledge of scripture. He's talking further. You have knowledge, but you have belief in it. Otherwise, as one devotee, you know, PhD, was talking that on the campus, you know, when they're hanging out and all that, some of these, you know, who are Indologists and that, they're karmis, no devotion at all, another interest. And they're discussing technical points of the Sandarbhas over a beer at the pub. And he was saying that this happens. You know, so they don't have faith in scriptures. They may know scriptures, so that would be the lower level. But here, taking faith in scriptures. But their faith in scripture is for one of the six schools other than pure devotional service. Not about the Vaishnava approach, but they're following the six schools and all the analysis and all the religious principles, Dharma Shastras and the Dharma Sutras, Griya Sutras, all these things, but it's not about devotion. So a waste. Nice, but you know, I say they're so close, but they just don't quite get it. Yeah, and they'll openly criticize the acharyas and all that. So again, it goes back to being smart. So in other words, that's where the Protestantism of not caring for saintly persons. It's just about me and God, you know, because it's that. So originates in their previous births in India, where they're rejecting these things. And then... Okay. Then, Narad says in the Skanda Purana, the person with firm bhakti and controlled senses, though without proper family conduct, is the best of all people, not the peaceful Brahman without bhakti, who possesses 18 types of knowledge and is born in a good family. Right? So here he has born in a good family. He's peaceful. That means he's performing his duties. He has nothing, you know, to gain other than the performance of his duties, at least the immediate, like that. And then 18 types of knowledge, then depending on how you do it, that could be the 14 books of Vedic knowledge. And then Madhvacharya mentions that the Upavedas, you know, the Ayurved, Stapanaved, Dhanurved, and Gandharvaved, also you can count them as four more, you know, because they're so substantial, they kind of stand on their own, even though technically in R, when we Krishna mentions the 14 books, they're part of the Puranas. So there's subsections. So the Puranic section is huge, but to bring it out of there so it gives it more appreciation by, you know, especially those who are more attached to their Brahminical kind of status, that, you know, yes, these things are there, then rather than it's just Puranic, no, I'm an Ayurvedic doctor, I'm a Brahmin, I'm special, rather than just it's part of the Puranic, you know, element of describing the lifestyle of someone who follows the Vedas, then you can get 18. And he's born in a good family. So, you know, people say that, you know. You know, they're born in this and that. And so it's a thing that you there, use it nice. Like Ambarish Prabhu uses it in Krishna's service. He gets so much nice things done by his family birth when he's working with outside. But inside, he doesn't take any advantage. He doesn't go, I'm a Ford, you know, like that. No, he just, Yeah. Okay. The Brahmin, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, or anyone else means beyond that. You know, that's the 12 tribals or worse, right? You know, are endowed with, if they're endowed with bhakti, the Vishnu is supreme among all people. So that's Kashi Kanda, Skanda Purana. Right? So Narad Muni makes that point, is that even the Brahmin has all these things, but no, the devotee, no matter what the background, he's the best. So supreme amongst all people. Like that, right? So in other words, if one is the supreme on any level, it's because of bhakti, not because of position. Like that. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.